Hello, everybody, and welcome to our final podcast of the semester of the year 2016. And in this episode, we are, as counselors and counselor educators and counselors in training, we like to process. And so we just want to process what this has all been like for us. Just some introductions to begin with. I'm Scott.
I'm Anna.
Tony.
Olivia.
I'm Adam.
And I'm glad that we're all able to be together for this last round of processing. I'm going to start it off just how this all really came about. And I see this as a great example of the proverbial making lemonade out of lemons. So we had originally been scheduled to have this mental illness and pop culture be a course, like a face-to-face in-class course, but not enough people signed up, and so it got canceled. Surprisingly though, the four of you all contacted me saying you still were really, really interested, and would there be something else that we could do related to this? And Adam and I had a few conversations, and somehow in our brainstorming, the idea of podcast came up. We had no idea how it would turn out. You know, and I think our hope, or at least mine, was just that maybe my family and a few friends would listen. Of course, as it turns out, they don't. But lots of other people have. Our maximum week had over 500 listens, which is just like, wow.
That's cool.
And it's just like the five of us and our thing. Mm-hmm. And so, wow. I'll stop there for now.
Yeah, it was definitely exciting from the first time you and I sat down and talked about it because, you know, I actually was told, even when I responded, like, oh, I'm interested in doing this with you and whatnot, I was told, like, it's not for PhD students, you can't do it. And then you got a hold of me the next week and you were like, there's definitely a role for you here if you are interested. And then even with it getting canceled after that, you stayed in touch and definitely kept the ball rolling. So I want to give props where that's due. Like, this is all you. We got to do this because of you. So I want to thank you for that. It's been an incredible experience. It definitely changed from the first time Scott and I sat down to talk about it. There was going to be papers that people were going to do, and from papers turned slowly into this idea of podcasts, and I think it's just been so exciting so far. We've actually had a lot of other PhD students and master's students talk about their interest in it, and the whole time I've been like, yeah, well, I definitely want them to, but they better not take my place because I love this and I've been in it from day one and I want to stay. So I'm holding on with a strong grasp that hopefully I get to remain a part of this.
Hey, you've always got first steps.
Thank you.
Cool. Yeah. I think I'm with Adam in the same mind frame of originally hearing about the course. And then once I got the notification that it was canceled, I was like, what? Who told them they could do that? And I know the people that I had spoken with were actually enrolled in the course. So it was like we were just scavenging around trying to figure out what was going to happen next, and after contacting Scott, I was like, okay, we still got it going on, so there was hope. But there was definitely this feeling of I'm interested in this, and then as needed, a lot of other courses are usually only in the summer. Like Scott has some awesome courses I would just like to take in the summer, but it's like, you know, it's a really short time frame. But with this course, and me binge watching a lot of Netflix shows, kind of came right on time. So, and definitely the exposure to the documentaries was a new thing for me as well. And processing them in that same mindset of saying, okay, put on your clinician hat and, you know, look at this again. So that was really nice. But a lot of appreciation to still have this course take place. And then I'm kind of like, after hearing so many people ask questions about it, oh, that's the class that was canceled? I'm so interested. So why didn't you sign up? It's like my big question. But I'm glad I was a part of this. So I'm glad I didn't miss out.
Same. This being my first semester,
I was really, like, super into just, like, taking core classes because, I mean, I don't have anything else. And then I saw this and I was just like, I love mental health and I love pop culture and it's going to be together. And I was like, I have to take this class. I even talked to Danae about it, my academic advisor, and I was just like, so this one class, can I take electives? Are you allowed to take electives your first semester? And she was like, yeah, you can take an elective. She was like, are you sure you want to take four classes? And I was like, I can do this. So then when I found out we were just, it was more like podcast based, I was like, okay, I never listened to a podcast. Now I got to go listen to one. And now I'm kind of like addicted to one channel. But I was really glad to be a part of it in my first semester because everybody in my class is like, oh my God, I want to take that class. How were you able to take that class? I was like, you got to read the emails that they send out. So that's how
important.
Every email in that like listserv, I'm just like, okay, this class, I want to take that class. I want to get that certificate. Mm-hmm. So I was really glad to be a part of it. It was just like, I had the same thought, like, why didn't anybody sign up if everybody wanted to talk about it?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really glad I was able to be a part of this. And the videos and, like, documentaries, I never would have thought to think about in a certain way, or I never would have even, like, thought to watch in the first place.
I actually joined this class when it was in the stage of being converted to independent research, and I was a little skeptical at first. I was like, what? Independent research without papers and articles and all of that scholarly, you know, sitting at your computer until 2 o'clock in the morning? But as we actually start, I was actually very, very nervous at the beginning of our first podcast. I was like, I have no idea how this is going to go. I don't know if I'm comfortable talking in front of all of these audience, but as with each week, I felt like we were evolving in our discussions and our mm-hmm. material, like for the different topics, it was, you know, interesting every single week, and we got super engaged, and I love to see how far it's gone and where it can go to the future.
Yeah, and we can talk about this later, perhaps. I'm interested in keeping things going.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know for sure at least Adam and I and the rest of you have first dibs as well. And there's another person who had originally signed up but then pulled out at the last minute that has next priority, and then whoever else is interested. But I think that our own evolution as a group, and we study these types of things in our program, has been sort of interesting too as we've gotten to know more about each other. We have been through life experiences this semester. We have been through highs and lows. We haven't talked a lot about that a little bit on the podcast. But it's been exciting, and speaking of 2 a.m. and behind your computer, that's actually how I watched most of these movies. I was like Sunday night, and I'm taking notes, especially if I love the bonus features. I have really learned to appreciate bonus features on the film, that they've provided a lot of insight.
And I love that we had documentaries this time around, because I think those were the most intriguing and almost difficult for me, because when we're talking, and it's going to be interesting, you know, when we get a little bit further into it and not just be films, and maybe we'll introduce other things. But when talking about kind of fictional characters or even characters played by actors, even if they were real at one time, it was a little bit easier to be like critical and whatnot. But when watching a person dealing with this in their real life, and this is a documentary, it was so, I mean, you felt more almost like, at least I did, like a clinician watching than just like a viewer or there for entertainment purposes. Like, you almost had a responsibility to these people to make sure that you told their story correctly and that you didn't have like the judgment that sometimes comes with just watching a movie.
Adam, I think more so for me, it's that you have to take the raw material as it is. And I think when we watch the film, sometimes it's like, oh, well, that was for the movie's sake, and it was for that. But when you get this documentary, it wasn't for anything but to give you what it is.
Yeah.
And I think that's when you get your raw dose of whatever. And it's real honest. Mm-hmm. So, I think it's really hard to manipulate the truth in that sense and kind of present it in its real authenticity and hear about the families and other aspects of the actual individual's life.
Yeah, I appreciated the documentaries even though they were difficult to get through at times, because for me, it showed me that, like, you know, Hollywood's way of showing, like, things that people go through are very different than how they actually are. And a lot of them, like, for instance, like Antoine Fisher, when he was just, like, talking about what he's been through, or with Good Will Hunting, where it's like he kind of, you know, drew out, like, the emotions versus, like, some, like, the other documentaries we've watched where it's, like, you can see, like, each emotion, like, how it really is and not how it's acted out.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was kind of just like, okay, so when I am a clinician, I realize that things aren't always going to be like, people just willingly want to talk about themselves, and people just want to be like, oh, I just want to be happy and sunshine and rainbows, and one time I did this bad thing. Sometimes there's going to be people who are just like, well, I did it and I don't feel bad, or I didn't know it was bad, or, you know, it's always like, it depends. So I've come to love and hate that phrase over the course of this semester. And I really appreciate the documentaries because they were more so like in your face and not like you had to like guess what was going on.
The biggest thing for me between the different types of movies that we've watched is the movies that were directed often had a nice, neat little bow wrapped around ending, where it was presumed that life will go on in a relatively positive manner. Whereas documentaries and real life suggest that oftentimes that may not be the case, and the things that happened to the characters, to the people in these documentaries are real, and the experiences they had, the emotions and the patterns that still guide them are going to continue to guide them through the future as well. But that adds the additional like reflection on us counselors. How can we be aware of this? How can we help real people?
Well, I'm really interested to hear this emphasis on documentaries, and I have to say that the documentaries are what I was the most hesitant about including in this series, because something like The Devil and Daniel Johnston, although on my own internet movie list that I was involved in whenever that came out, I rated that as my number one film of the year. But it was not a popular film compared to Good Will Hunting, Ordinary People, Girl Interrupted. I mean, these are Academy Award-winning films.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm really curious and intrigued that our initial conversation in this wrapping the semester up has been on how important those documentaries were.
Absolutely. And I think I've mentioned it before in just like passing, but it happens almost every time now. I'll like watch a movie, even just for pleasure, like, you know, you'll lie down at night and you're like, I'll put on the movie, and my mind starts going like, I wonder if we could use this for our course, or I wonder if we could use this for a podcast. And I've had a few that definitely I want to incorporate into the future. One being a documentary, which is Amy, based on Amy Winehouse. And I think that would be an incredible film for this course. And for, yeah, because I mean, there's just, it's an Academy Award winning documentary. It's phenomenal. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but I just adore it. And I keep finding myself every time I watch something now, I'm like, can this fit into our course somehow? And it'll be interesting to see what we have in the future.
I'm like that with TV series. So, especially when it's like the popular dramas. And I know like, sometimes you can't really like do certain shows because they don't really, it's more of like, less of like a psych or counselor base. But I really love Shonda Rhimes, and I find a prop, like every single, anything she makes, I'm just like, yep, yeah, you have an issue. You should. But for me, it's like, I see shows that have like a lack of a character who is like a mental health like clinician or someone with that type of background, and then like how other people go about their days and like the show. I'm just like, I wonder if you could like on the flip side of talking about, like, oh, this movie or this documentary where it's clear mental health issues, talking about, like, oh, what are the signs of something, or, like, something like that, where it's like, oh, the show doesn't have someone with that background, but how would it be if there was somebody with that background? That was kind of confusing when I was halfway
through. No, Tony, I totally get you, in the sense that I was already thinking that. I think the documentaries themselves offer a lot of the thought process and the education sense, and you need psychoeducation and you also need family support, or even including them and educating them. And when it comes to the other films, whatever support networks they had, and then the effectiveness of coping strategies, positive coping strategies, such as, like, you know, Perks of Being a Wallflower, journaling, things of that nature. Like, what can we do and remember in our roles and in our professional roles? And then I also think back to whether it is a TV show, I find myself being critical sometimes, like, oh my gosh, that's such a great teaching moment, or even providing some type of psychoeducation. This is real. This is aspect that you can actually see, versus sometimes when it's dragged out too long, that's when you say, okay, this is becoming something just for TV sake, yeah, something for film. But I think there are some real authentic moments where if we just play clips or watch brief clips, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, that we can see some moments where we can say, if we just all evaluated this situation, what do we see? And I think when we don't have that clinician or professional helper present, that is actually reflected in a lot of individuals' lives as they try to cope and deal with things on their own. And because seeking professional help is kind of has this stigma, I think having a podcast that wants to review what it is in pop culture and try to educate, it's kind of us making it more okay to talk about. And you have questions, you have concerns, and I think that's a really good thing. And I think it has created some awareness for people, whether you're in the program or you're just stumbled upon the channel and you're like, okay, this is an interesting podcast. I watched this movie before, because now it brings you in to say, now I have a little more insight than I did before.
Sure, that was a great way of saying it. I was actually going to touch that. Almost every film or art piece has a moment of truth in it, mm-hmm, or multiple moments of truth, some sort of truth that the director or the artist is trying to portray, a sort of emotion that they are trying to convey to the audience, and they're trying to connect with the similar maybe feelings or experiences or empathy of the audience, and drawing out that piece that was trying to be conveyed, that emotion or that struggle can be, you know, I think very powerful for the audience, for just normalizing, like you said, mm-hmm, being aware that this is real, these are things that people go through. And even though it may be a little bit dramatized, or maybe the ending may be a little more happy, it still draws that connection, like, this is real life, and, you know, you're not alone, if that is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, one thing I would say is, just even for an individual who may have a diagnosis, and not everyone has a great experience, but us being all these different individuals within this room, that awareness and advocacy in yourself is for a person to say, you know, I didn't have a good experience, but I want to try again, and advocating to maybe see a different professional within the same office. That, because you have all these different perspectives, just listening to us doesn't mean that you won't have that same experience in real life. Someone that kind of sees something or listens to you and they don't actually internalize and get what you're saying, and that can be really off-putting, especially if it's something related to, like, a multicultural competency. But if that's something that happens, it's not something that wants you to not want to get help, but actually advocate you and encourage you and empower you to actually seek more help and get the person who actually you feel is understanding you, instead of making you feel in any adverse way.
Yeah, and we've kind of been talking about, or starting to talk about, what it was like to work with each other and what we learned from each other and about each other and about ourselves. And so I'd kind of like to process that a little bit. I'm using big hand gestures as I say this. This was a phenomenal overall experience for me. I'm going to say doing this podcast this semester is one of the highlights of my professional career. And thank you all so much for participating in that with me. Probably the most frequent thought I have while we are in the moment of discussing a film, I'm just in such admiration of all of you. And this is what I say when I talk to other people. You know, films that I have seen 20, 25 times, and suddenly you're having such amazing insight that I have totally overlooked. And so there are many times when I'm being quiet during the discussion. It's just because I'm in awe of the things that you are seeing and the connections that you're making. And what do we talk about? What's that syndrome? Imposter syndrome? Mm-hmm. So even once in a while, I feel like, gosh, I'm the dumb one of the group, even though I'm the professor here. But I just think that the things that you all are recognizing is just such a tribute. And I think that we build off of each other with our ideas.
That's the benefit of having conversation about it, you know, connecting with other people over ideas that we may perceive based on our experiences and our associations differently, mm-hmm. and sharing those experiences.
Yeah. I think for me, more so, it's like my first semester within the program, one of my favorite courses that I was list, like, this helped me figure out where I'm at and why I'm here, was having group counseling and having Scott be my professor. And then I think Toni's openness as a person within her first semester, it reminds me of being open. This is a new program that I had just started. It was like, you know, a new experience. I had just moved here. I was like, okay, don't know anything about NIU. Got to figure out what's going to happen for me. And then like Adam, you know, I want my PhD. So it's like, you know, the future me. And Anna's about to graduate, so it's like, I'll be there eventually. Like, May's around the corner, but she's doing it. And then, you know, Adam passed the NCE too, so that was exciting. So it's more hope for me. It's kind of seeing where I am on this spectrum and identifying with, you know, being open and completing certain marks and looking at the future. And then just being ready to receive and evaluate and just listen to everyone, knowing that one of our projects in class for group counseling was to watch a film and have us all give our own points of views. But to actually watch it and then come together and have a podcast is a whole nother story. So it's like building upon that for me. So it's been a nice continuation versus just endpoints for mm-hmm. me. But being able to still mark things that have been completed and see different aspects of people from a different setting. Like, I've been in class with Adam before, but a podcast is different. And then to hear how we've watched this same film and sometimes have had similar thoughts and then sometimes just added to one another's has been also really great. So yeah. I like seeing that.
And I think when it comes to like the atmosphere and how it's been created, I want to give a lot of credit to you, Scott, for doing that, because the first time we came in here, like, you know, I've taught courses at the, you know, university level for I think 6 or 7 years now, and you came to me with the idea of helping co-teach and whatnot, and I was ready to kind of take this like sit it back kind of role. And then the first time we were coming in, you were like, nope, you're going to run it. You're going to do it. And I was like, ugh, like kind of nervous about coming in, you know, the first time co-teaching and kind of running it. I had all these articles. I had all this like scholarly stuff set up. And Scott was like, eh, we're just going to kind of have this conversation. And I was like, what are we doing? And I think it's because you set up your courses that way, and you set up especially this. We all came in at different parts in our careers, some very like further along, others very novice in the beginning of their career. And every single person's journey through this was kind of equalized. You didn't have it set up where it was like, oh no, I know this, I've worked with this, I've done this. Mm-hmm. Everyone was equal sitting here around this room, around this microphone. And it wasn't necessarily about like all of our research we've done, but our experiences, and almost like a here and now kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason that it was able to be set up so well is because you bring that to the table. I'm not used to that. And it's definitely taught me something for the future. So I want to make sure that, you know, I really appreciated how you were able to do that. And I never felt like, because you're the professor with the PhD, that you know more, or that I know more because I have like the master's degree already. We all sat here as equals. And I thought that was kind of incredible and amazing.
Yeah. When I first like thought about this, I was just like, oh my God. When we sat down for the first time, I was like, oh, I don't know anything. I have no acronyms behind my name. You know, everybody's closer to graduation. This is my first semester. I haven't even had a test yet. And then I'm just like, oh, okay, so we're not gonna be like quoting like scholarly articles. Nobody's quoting like big names in the counseling world. I was like, okay, I can do this. But I love to talk. So if anybody knows me, it's just like, once I get started on a certain topic, it's just like, okay, bring it back in. I've had that happen to me several times in class. So to be able to come here every week and talk about like something that is like, we all sit down and like watch the same movie, but like everybody has a different viewpoint, is like, it's like mind blowing to me, because I know I have so many opinions about things, but then it's like to be able to sit down and have a conversation with like four other people who have opinions about the same thing that I'm like having opinions about, that's like rare, because my friends don't always like, you know, we don't always like the same things. So it's good to just be like, okay, so I know like me and Adam almost every Monday we'll be like, so this movie, or so did you see that documentary, that one part? Yeah. So it's just been really like good. Like, it's been a really good experience, just because for someone who loves to talk and loves to watch movies, you know, it's nice having people to talk to, because sometimes I just gotta call my mom. She doesn't really care. So now I got people who care.
Yeah, Tony, I think you brought a lot of what you were learning in class to the discussion as well. Especially those epics.
You know, I better get an A on this final, because all the ethical things that I just think about, it's like, that's not right. But I hope that makes me, you know, better counselor.
But you're applying it and practicing it.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
In your daily
life. I think there's something to that also, that I think that part of doing this podcast, and I hope this is true for people listening as well, in watching a film and then engaging in discussion about it, is that these textbook concepts suddenly are no longer your abnormal psychology class or pathology or diagnosis, but instead they come alive. And this is what it looks like. You know, Daniel Johnston, this is what bipolar disorder with some possible schizoaffective components may look like.
God, I love my abnormal psych. No, but seriously, like, it was, but I think it's also the style of the professor, just because, like you, there's a lot of personal touch that comes within the room. And so from that, it was something that I learned from. So like these podcasts, as we watch these films, they become something that I'm learning and that sticks with me, not just memorization and things like that, spitting facts, but also being able to acknowledge, well, here's the clinical standpoint, here's what I kind of just looked at myself, this was kind of awkward, I judged this, but taking it a step further to say, okay, here's my thorough review. However, we all can disagree or agree, but nevertheless, we still are sharing together as we observe these films, documentaries.
Yeah, it was really, going back to the documentaries, it was a big point for me was being able to pinpoint where I would have like a moment of bias, like for or against like one of the characters in the movies or the main character in a documentary. And I think that was a good like learning point for me, because it's like you learn all these things in like your classes and you read the textbook and what to do and what not to do, but then it's like watching these movies in a different, like with your like counselor hat on, it's just like, oh, okay, so now I understand what they were saying in class. So it's like applying what you said earlier about applying what you learn to like real world. And it was, by the time we got to like the last couple of movies, I was like, okay, if I can like, if I started thinking certain ways, I was like, nope, that's a bias, don't think about it. Mm-mm. Think about it this way instead. I was like, okay. So for Inside Out, it's like, the first half of the movie, I was like, nope, you know, just think about it a different way. Yeah. It's okay.
And I think there's a big difference sometimes experiencing something and talking about your experience. Because when you're experiencing something, many times it just is. But when you put words to it, when you share this experience to other people, it makes you see your experience, perhaps your bias or your emotional reaction, in a different way. It makes it quote-unquote real, and like it objectifies, like puts it into a concept that can be broken down, and or people can empathize with it and share in that and see what was happening for us then. We had a few of those moments with some of the movies where we were, almost all of us were like, no, 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 or I absolutely love this part, but why? What is behind that emotion? What is behind that experience?
Well, and I'd like to talk about some of those. And so I'm wondering if there were any particular films or points within a film or parts of our discussions that really stand out to you as you look back.
I liked the conversations we would have about the family dynamics in each movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because going from the Good Will Hunting and Antoine Fisher, who were kind of like, they didn't have like the nuclear, however you say the word, family role, versus like ordinary people, and then seeing that movie, and then what was the other, Perks of Being a Wallflower. So seeing like the difference between that family and another family kind of dealing with similar issues, it was like, I liked how everyone had like a different like thought process when it came to like how families work when like somebody or multiple people have this like potential mental health problem. It made me think about like family dynamics and like how somebody was saying earlier about how family support is like a really big thing for someone who's going through counseling.
That was kind of a running theme throughout the semester, is family systems applied to almost everything that we watched.
Yeah.
Another theme that I think, well, I mean, we had the theme, of course, that was kind of hopefulness, which I think is
yes.
incredible when mm-hmm. talking about mental health, because we have to have hope and we have to have that idea that it might not get better, but it will get easier, especially with support. I think one of the really interesting things, even though there was kind of a lack of, like we were trying to bring in more multicultural, like that was definitely something that has always been, from day one, you and I said we'd like more multicultural. But even in the, I guess, lack thereof, we were able to find how cultural differences played such huge roles in every single one of these films. Whether it was from Good Will Hunting in the beginning, this really kind of Boston kind of atmosphere, which let's face it, is a culture all in itself, and then go to like Silver Linings, which is Philly, which is similar but still a different culture in itself, going to Antoine Fisher, where culture, I mean seriously, culture played a role in every single one
Southern
of these
Illinois
films. Yes, with
yeah.
Devil and Daniel Johnston. I mean,
70s, 80s,
yes.
From Girl Interrupted.
Oh,
and
yes.
Female,
time periods,
feminist, kind of.
Gender.
Like,
high school.
Yeah.
Culture played such a huge role. And I think it's interesting because, you know, working in counseling and taking all the classes, like, multiculturalism has been a part of every single class I've taken and has been a part of something. Every single class has had some kind of discussion. It wasn't really, though, until here, seeing all these different cultures in one class, in one, like, if you go through the discussions, it played such a role in every single conversation we had that I totally understood, like, why coming at it with each client has to be from their point of view, because culture is ingrained in absolutely everything we do. And I'd hope to think that this kind of taught me, even as a clinician, that, you know, I'm coming at it from a white gay male in society from Ohio, and that is not the same as everyone else. Like, you have to come from their vantage point of each and every individual client. And I think this class really, or course or hours or whatever this happens to be, really showed me why we incorporate that into each class and the importance of culture in counseling.
Yeah, I agree with the cultural aspect. Because, and that was another thing I realized about, like, the biases I had, because when I would think about culture, I only would think about, like, religious culture or, you know, like, ethnic culture. I didn't think about, like, oh, well, this, like, part of a state is different than this part of a state. So it's like, I really had to think about, like, oh, okay, people who live in Boston are a lot different than people who live in Philly, versus people who live in New York City are different than people who live in Manhattan. It was just like, I had to, like, take, like, culture was, like, the umbrella term, and then I had to, like, break it down into, like, subsections and subgroups, and
yeah.
That was, like, an eye-opener for me, because whenever somebody would say culture, I'd be like, okay, you know, like, different people, different backgrounds, but I never thought about, like, where they actually live versus, like, you know, what they, like, identified with or associated themselves with, like, in their, like, spare time. So that
just
was,
like, socioeconomic status. Like,
yeah.
What a huge difference that plays. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Such a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to afford health care, being able to, I mean, coming from, like, not myself, but, like, even some of the films we saw, coming from maybe a higher socioeconomic status or an average kind of middle class socioeconomic status. And then you look at some lower socioeconomic statuses that have a completely different view on even mental health to begin with. I mean, it's such a huge difference.
Right, and it's like that showed in the movies where it was like Antoine Fisher and Good Will Hunting, they were kind of like mandated because they, like, their socioeconomic statuses weren't, you know, like, enough to go actively and seek counseling like in ordinary people, where he just, like, wanted to go, or in Perks, where he had been consecutive times, and was it Stevie, where he, what was it, like, rural, like, extremely rural conditions where, like, mental health wasn't even, like, on the radar to be thinking about. It's just like, are you able-bodied, like, are you of sound mind, can you, like, work for a living? And that's all it really, like, that's a whole nother thing in itself that I didn't really think about until, like, starting this podcast.
And yeah, for almost every movie that we've had, there has been similarities in needs, similarities in just elements of the characters being human. Almost every movie had an element of wanting to be loved or wanting to belong somewhere. Even in Good Will Hunting, where he was, well, supposedly trying to push everyone away, there was still that element of, I just want to be noticed and cared for by somebody. It's hard, but, you know, how do I overcome these barriers or struggles? And that journey, I think, is very important to, you know, to see in people.
And I, you know, sitting with a client and trying to find, like, their strengths, sometimes you real clients come in and you're like, you know, I have nothing. Like, I have nothing going good in my life right now. I'm being like, no, you really do. Let's find some of those things, whether it's your faith or whether you have one person at home that is fighting for you, and seeing sometimes in these films what that looks like. Someone like Will Hunting, who has you know, a couple of strong friendships and what difference those few strong things in someone's life can make. Like, it just brings it all kind of back around to what the importance of our role is as a counselor and bringing out
and encouragement.
Yes.
And so, you know, Adam, as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking the power of connections and being connected to other people. I think that pervaded these films.
Mm-hmm.
And in Good Will Hunting, when Will Hunting says he's hoping in 20 years to still be hanging out and I forget what the suburb of Boston it was, but and his best friend says, "No, my dream every morning is that I come to pick you up and you're not there because you need to be someplace better than this."
Yeah, and I think that in Inside Out, we saw this huge connection to what you're saying, that connections are key, relationships are key, and they play a huge role in our mental health status.
Yes.
So cute. I can't
wait. Well, and I just want to say, so one of my own favorite moments on the podcasts was, you know, I mentioned I watched these movies late at night. I got my computer, got the remote, in case I need to rewind. And so I was so proud of myself in Girl Interrupted for being able to actually see the treatment plan that Angelina Jolie was reading. I mean, it took me, because that's only on the screen for like a frame, and it took me a lot, like 8 tries to get it to stick there. And I was so proud about it. And so then when we're having our discussion, I couldn't wait to get that in. And I go, I am a genius. I know what her character's diagnosis is. And you guys go, well, actually, she was looking at somebody else's chart.
The funny thing is, Scott and I talked about that for days afterward. And I love that you brought, like, you were, you know, a lot of professors, I think, would have taken that moment and been off-put by it, by students being like, no, you're not right. And you were so comfortable and fine with it.
Uh-huh. I did say something like, well, I guess I'll have to recheck. But I also really believe in the importance of modeling the okayness of making mistakes, and that's how we learn and getting feedback. And it was a humorous moment.
It was great.
Yeah. It's a kind of a microcosm of my life, too. I want to say, so we're kind of reaching the end. I want to just give a shout out to all people who gave us some feedback. Just some things that are coming to my mind. Dr. Kimberly Melton-Lechner commented that listening to us talk about Girl Interrupted felt like having a bunch of friends in her living room, and she wanted to participate in the conversation. My friend Leanne was a big fan early on, and she wanted to meet everybody. And even just recently, last night or yesterday, I got a message from a graduate from our program, Lindsay, who said how much she enjoys listening to us when she drives back and forth to work. So that's really appreciated.
Yeah.
Olivia, you look like you wanted
to
say.
I was just going to add that after reviewing all these films and the documentaries, I think more so challenging us in terms of seeing what is mainstream or what is, you know, kind of congruent with society. I like that conversation. It came up a few times, especially when we talked about Antoine Fisher and the actual culture of people who are serving and that mental health, actually seeking mental health in terms of that. But also, we had a lot of memories reflecting on our own high school experiences. But also what's going on, what's typical for those experiences and what's typical for people who are diagnosed can always be challenged, because is it agreeing with society and mainstream? And then you also have to look at the reality of the individual. And so those are the issues that really stuck out to me when we boil it all down. And I think of evidence-based practice, how you kind of fine-tune everything where you have your evidence, what you've researched, what's proven to be correct, and that could be society. However, you also take in your own clinical expertise as well as your client to form what's best. because a lot of things that society is mainstream may seem to be best, but if it doesn't really align with what's going on, then you have to revise to meet the specific needs. So whenever we discuss those things, I was like, okay, that's cool, you know, that's true. And yeah, you know, Inside Out, it was a lot of favorites for that one, and it was a lot of expectations that I felt like Scott watching it. Expectations were too high. So that should be fun. Hopefully you all listen to that one thoroughly before you listen to this.
Well, and I just have to take a teachable moment, Olivia, and I feel like you've just operationalized what we mean when we say often clients are experts on themselves. Mm-hmm. I think you've just really illustrated that well.
Thanks. Yeah. All right. So, any last words?
Well, we are not exactly sure the direction that we're going to take. We will plan that between semesters. We will be back up in approximately the middle of January, so keep an eye peeled. Maybe this is a good time to re-listen to favorite episodes.
And I really hope that we inspired you guys to carry on these conversations with your friends, with other people, and just to, you know, pay attention in movies, pay attention to people, you know, increase awareness of the people around you. Mm-hmm. So.
And I here's what I wanted to say. I think that by watching these films and then talking about them in a way that we know other people are going to listen to, there's something about that that has elevated our level of conversation and the depth, that, so that we watch it and see it and think about it in a different way.
And I hope that if people have like suggestions for like movies or documentaries or even certain clips from TV shows, that they give feedback, because that will help us as well for next semester and the coming semesters after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'd love to hear from you.
All right. Well, I think it's time to close our first season of podcasts, Mental Illness and Pop Culture. Everybody.
See you.
Bye.
Thank you so much.
Till next time.